Now, continuing our look into how ideas about masculinity are passed on in Latino households, we're going to go to the other side of the country, to California, where Matt de la Peña was growing up in San Diego and hearing that young men weren't supposed to show emotion. Matt's mom is white and his dad is Mexican. He's now a best-selling author who's won two of the most prestigious awards in children's books, the Newbery and the Caldecott Medals, for his book Last Stop on Market Street. Matt also writes for teens, and his books often deal with themes of poverty and identity. Matt's relationship with his dad and his understanding of what it is to be a man all come from his love of books. He was the first in his family to go to college, and now he often speaks to students about that experience because that's when everything changed for him. Matt de la Peña, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So how did you actually get to love books? And I love the way that you've talked about your life. You're like, I was that kid, you know, carrying the basketball who looked at books like, yeah, not for me.
I mean, I feel like I owe everything to the game of basketball because it got me to college.
Are you like super tall?
No, I'm 6'2". I was the shortest guy on my team. But, you know, it got me to college, and I feel like that's where my whole world opened up. I discovered literature, and I think that was the thing that pretty much changed my life the most. When I was young, I was a reluctant reader, but reluctant readers are also really loyal readers. So they'll pick one book and they'll just be incredibly loyal to that book or magazine. For me, it was House on Mango Street. I loved that in high school, but I didn't think it would translate to other books. Now, when I got to college, I made a huge discovery. I read The Color Purple, and it really made me feel things to the point that, you know, I was emotional by the end of that book. I was on the verge of tears, and I couldn't believe that because the way I grew up as a guy in this machismo mentality with a very tough Mexican father, you're not allowed to cry or show emotion. And over the course of my high school years, I built this wall around my heart. And I was good at it. Nothing made me cry. Nothing hurt me. But when I read this book, it felt good to almost cry. And what I realized is that there was this hole in my chest. And when I read books, it would fill that hole, and it made me feel more complete. So in a weird way, books became my secret place to feel.
Okay, so you just described your dad as this old school Mexican dad, the kind who doesn't show a lot of emotion. Here you are wanting to go into books. What did he think of that, and how did it affect your relationship?
I went to graduate school at San Diego State. I really did it so I could be closer to my family again, because I had been in Northern California for undergrad. And I started this routine where every Sunday I'd go to lunch at my parents' house, and my dad would be there, but he had lost his job. You know, he didn't know really how to deal with the sudden loss of identity or maybe shame. And so he was very quiet. He didn't speak to us much at all that year. And one day when I was coming home for lunch, I was carrying a book, and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Matt, what book is that you have?" And I said, "Oh, this is 100 Years of Solitude. It's an incredible book. I just finished it." He looked at me and he said, "Hey, do you think I could read that book?" And I thought to myself, man, I've never seen this guy read a book at all. So I gave him the book, and you know, I came back the next week and I said, "Did you read it?" And he said he didn't have time. And that happened a number of times, and I kind of gave up on the book. And then one day, like a few months later, he said, "Hey, I read the book." And I said, "Well, what'd you think?" And he said, "It was good." And, you know, I was in grad school. I was ready for a deep breakdown of, you know, the magical realism. But he then asked me, "Hey, do you think I could read all the books you read at school?" So I proceeded to give him every single book I read in graduate school, and he read them all. He would tell me if it was good or bad. He did that for 3 years. And then the amazing thing is they ended up moving to Northern California. And he enrolled and he got his in college and got his AA degree. And then he ended up getting his BA in literature.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Yeah. Now he's a teacher. He teaches third grade in a migrant community in Watsonville, California. And often he ends up teaching in Spanish. So it's really, really amazing arc to his life that involved books.
Wow. I don't know. It's almost like there's an after-school made-for-TV movie right there.
I know, right? I need to write that book.
You need to write that movie. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, men, You can't change that.
It's so true. That cliche, right?
And you're saying like, oh, no.
Well, you know, I think we used to connect on sports. Like, we never had deep conversations about things because my dad's a very quiet man. But he'd come in and say, hey, did you see the Chargers score? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, such and such player did great. And that was our connection. It was via sports. And then I think you really need to give the credit to my dad, because I think in a way he was reaching out to what I was now interested in, only it took him into this a whole new life. And I mean, he's probably the biggest lit snob I know now. He always gets on me if I haven't read a book he's read.
Oh, come on. Did you just say your dad is a lit snob?
It's unbelievable. He's reading James Joyce and he's like, come on, Matt, you haven't read this one?
So what do you tell someone now who's kind of like the guy that you were, or the guy that your dad was, who's like, oh, God, a book?
Like, in my community, we don't respect males who are sensitive. But what these guys and boys don't realize is we need it more than anybody. We need to sort of learn empathy through watching characters through a novel. We also need to get out of our world. When I was young, I never left San Diego. We never even went to Arizona. We would go to Mexico and San Diego, and that's it. But when you read, you're leaving the borders of your town. One of the coolest things about my dad's transformation is, yes, he lost his job and he dealt with shame, but he gained a new identity. And now he felt a worthiness because he was learned, if that makes sense. And he feels a huge pride in the books he's read. And by the way, he's a better father. And I think it's just because he has a better understanding of relationships and empathy.
It turns out that the books that you end up writing actually have a lot of sports in them. So was this because, like, you get sports and you understand, like, the whole lingo of sports and the whole kind of, you know, community around sports? Or was there a part of you that was like, you know what, I think that this is going to be a great way to get boys to pick up a book and read, because this way they're going to see themselves reflected?
I wish I could say that I had a master plan in terms of my audience, but I didn't. In fact, my first two books have sports in them. Ball Don't Lie has basketball. Mexican White Boy has baseball. And I will tell you this, I was a little nervous about that part of my first two projects because I didn't want to be known as a guy who wrote sports. I played basketball in college. When I went to graduate school for creative writing, I made one rule for myself. I said, I will never, ever, no matter what happens, write about basketball. And obviously I failed, but here's what interested me about basketball. It's not who wins and loses. It's not who scores the most points. It's the social stratum that takes place in a gym, the class system that spontaneously erects, where the best player in the gym in a local community center, he assumes all this power in a gym, and he's like the CEO of a company. And, you know, like, if it's game point and we throw the ball to him, you know, nobody's going to argue with him if he calls foul. Nobody's going to get in his way. But I'd watch that same guy leave the gym and be stripped of all his power. So in the greater America, he has no power. But in a gym setting, he has all this power. So I really was fascinated by people who are, I describe them as powerful, powerless men. And you see that a lot in sports. It's a haven for boys and then eventually young men.
It's interesting because I never really thought about it that way, that like being athletic, being something of a jock, if you're a man of color, actually will help you in terms of getting respect.
It's so true. And of course, you want to spend as much time as possible in a place where you feel respected. So, you know, a lot of guys I grew up with, they play all day, every day. You know, they would be on the court as much as possible because that's where they felt, you know, worthy.
Hmm. You said that, like, young men and young men of color in particular are kind of taught not to feel or have emotions. When books draw out so much of our emotions, when literature can draw that out, is it an anti-emotion thing or is it an anti-book thing?
I don't think it's an anti-book thing. I think it's an anti-sensitivity thing. And by the way, when I look back at when I was young and I kept this big old front, you know, like I was tough and I wouldn't show emotion, I wouldn't cry, I realized that I was kind of a faker. because deep down I did want to feel things, but I thought in order to best survive, I can't be sensitive. I have to be tough. Now, what I think books do, if you can penetrate the world of books, if you're patient enough to let them get you, I think that's when you learn that emotion is a good thing. It's a positive.
Matt de la Peña, thank you so much for all of your work. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. What an honor to be on your show.
My thanks to Matt de la Peña, who's the author of Last Stop on Market Street.